Hey, we want to welcome in Coach Tony Bennett, who last night, man, oh, man, UVA put an absolute clinic, certainly in the last 15 minutes, on the Cuse. Coach, thanks for taking the time. Your team last night, I know you've had great games over the years, but that was about as good a 15 minutes as I've seen all year in college basketball, offensive and defensively. What were your thoughts on it?
Those three were so hot and, you know, just started clicking. And then our defense really, you know, it kind of, I guess, fueled our defense. So it was important because that was a tight game, and it opened up with, like I said, sort of a perfect storm. But it was fun to coach that. You don't always get that right. But that stretch was, as you guys know as well as all of us.
I'm not sure Dan and I had any of those experiences.
No, not like that, brother. No.
What did you say to your guys at halftime, Tony? Because you guys were pretty loose with the ball in the first half, and then the second half did a great job of taking care of the ball, and you did a great job of figuring out a way to get almost matching up with the zone and then getting it to the middle and then just attacking from there. What was your message to you guys?
Yeah, I think we had eight turnovers and we gave up eight offensive rebounds. You know, you always look at those stats that we always like to say, you know, what do we have to do to eliminate losing first? And we got to have, you know, you better have an A or an A minus in, you know, taking care of the ball, giving up, you know, or one and done on the rebounding, and then obviously no fast break points. And we just said those got to clean up and play the game. And, you know, our guys have been experienced. And that zone, it can go both ways. It takes a little bit of adjusting the length of it and all that stuff. And also sometimes that zone adjusts to you when you're playing well. So it's a double-edged sword. But I thought we adjusted. We got some guys behind the zone that could catch and finish. We missed a few in the first half. So it wasn't – I didn't, like, blow them up. It was just like, listen, if we're going to be effective, this is what we have to do. And I thought DeAndre really guarded battle because they have some really good individual one-on-one players. And our defense, I thought, took a step, you know, in that stretch where we just spread out, played our gaps, but we bothered individual shots and then, as I said, kept them off the glass. So that accompanied with the shooting and the offensive output really, you know, was a quick turnaround.
Coach, it you mentioned the word blow your team up. It seems to me, seeing you back in the Bahamas and watching you now, it just looks like a team that you don't have to blow up very often, is it?
No, I think you feel the mood. I think, you know, practice has to be sharp and intense and challenging. And then, you know, if you sense it as a coach in a moment, you know, whether it's at halftime and a timeout, you just need to, okay, you sometimes have to trust that. But when you have experienced players, you know, it's against this level, you got to play the possessions, and it's whether there's different ways to do it, but I think the experience and knowing, you know, we're in a race here. It's important for us. That was a huge game for us. Now we still have a chance at an ACC regular season championship. It was, you know, it's just about not playing perfect, but playing the possession well the majority of the time.
You know, Kyle Guy was ridiculous, but the more I watch DeAndre Hunter, if there's a better defender in college basketball, I don't know who he is, because he guards point guards to power forwards. How unique is he just to have his offensive versatility along with his defensive versatility?
Yeah, I think I remember Malcolm Brogdon could do that. He could guard. Malcolm was so strong, not as tall, but both, you know, almost a 7-foot wingspan, I think. DeAndre has a 7'2 wingspan and taller. The ability to have that length, but you had to guard 1 through 4, or I guess you could say 5. And in today's game, the way the game's going, I think that's huge because so many of the foremen are terrific guards. Or, you know, you got to be able to guard out on the perimeter and then do that. And I think DeAndre is always, he's really continued to improve his slides on the ball. And you just see him coming into his own that way, and that's really important because at times if you want to switch a ball screen, you can do that, or you can, like I said, put him on some different smaller guards and try to use his length to bother them.
Coach, what do you do? Then a lot of people talk about, you know, conference tournaments, all that kind of stuff. What, and a lot of people, they're a great defensive team, and you know, your offense, I think, it gets overlooked a lot of times. Based on a percentage, can you let fans know, like, how much you practice each? Offense, defense, transition? You know, by percentage, how much do you give to each?
I think it's pretty balanced. You know, some days are different, and you get to this stage. You know, that was a quick turnaround with the Saturday-Monday game. But you try to be sharp. I think you shorten your time. This is what we do. We shorten our time, but keep the intensity up. But it's a pretty good balance. You know, it might be earlier in the year, you might be, 55-60% defense, 45 offense, and then it's just the feel of it. But it's not like we don't bring the balls out. You know, we sit against the wall for 5 minutes. Then we
right.
It's not like that. It's
right.
It's there's one-on-one, and sometimes 3-on-3 stuff or 4-on-4 where your guys are playing offense against each other, but your guard stuff, you're kind of mixing and matching. But I would say this will be interesting. You guys both as coaches. I was on a podcast with my father recently, and it rarely happens, but someone asked him, they said, what's the secret? Because he's way ahead of me or was way ahead of me. How do you get your teams to defend the way you want them to? What's the secret? Like, how do you do that? And his answer was interesting, and I even told it to my team. His answer was every night. He just said every night, that's the way you do it. And it doesn't have to be the whole practice, but it has to be, the same, not what you teach, what you emphasize. And if there has to – defense, you can't just say, oh, we got it. Okay, we'll leave it. We'll be fine for a couple of weeks. You have to continue to pour into it and have a mindset. I think your staff does, and your players have to understand that, or you got to make sure they understand it. And it's got to be a nightly or a very consistent kind of thing.
How consistent are you with, like, just your principles? Like, I know I've had a chance to do some games the last few weeks, and I see people go through walkthroughs, and they cover 30 plays, 20 plays, instead of just saying, all right, offensively, these are the five things they want to do, and everything else we're just going to cover, that we have to give or take away. But everything else we're just going to cover on our principles. How much do your principles change game to game?
They're pretty consistent. I think the principles don't change. Now, you have to look at teams and say, okay, they have something unique, and maybe they have a few things that might challenge your principles, so there might need to either be, all right, here's how we're going to do it, but here's what we got in our back pocket, or here's an adjustment. Let's see how it goes. But I just remember as a player, and again, just my philosophy and maybe how I was coached too, it's hard to remember everything in the moment. You have to understand a few things, know tendencies, understand personnel, but you have to be freed up to be assertive and aggressive in what you know to do. That's how I think you can play your best. But boy, there's so many different ways to do it in saying that. I know some coaches are so detailed and they're so good and the players have every play memorized. I think our guys, because they're at Virginia, their minds are so full with the academic side that we can't do that with the basketball side. No. But I think we're more principle oriented, Seth, and then make some adjustments.
Sure. You destroyed the state of Indiana, and you do it every time you're on because Kyle Guy goes for like 30 every time people watch him, and the state. But if you don't mind talking about him, he he's an interesting kid, right? He's not the normal. I don't know the right word. Just not a normal kid. He's an interesting kid. He's got a lot to him, correct?
Yeah, he is. He has if you watch him, he really, you look at him to be, his stature and to do what he does. He's deceptive with his athleticism, but he loves the game. He has fun. He as a coach, sometimes you're like, hey, stop smiling and giggling with the opponent. We're getting ready to tip off. Or, this is a serious part of the game. And, Kyle, I think he understands that, but he's going to enjoy life. He's like that with his family. He's like that with, his friends. I see that in him, and sometimes you marvel at that, but he's been significant in coming here and continuing to, help our program so much. And he has a gift, Dan, that ability to shoot the ball, like where he can turn in the air or get it rolling in a streak that not a lot of guys have, and that's so impressive.
Seth, excuse me, is he better than you thought he was?
I was pretty excited about him because I saw him do that in high school at times. And, he made the McDonald's All-American game. He's the first guy we've had that I've coached that did that. And so I was excited about him. And you're always hopeful, but no, he's had some performance. I think he's continued to, when he gets it on a roll, you're like, how did he just do that? I got that fortunate enough to coach, Joe Harris, but I talk about Clay. And I've had a couple others, but there's just a few guys who can catch, turn in the air, shoot, and just that, got that quick release, and he's got that as well as any.
He gets off so quick. Yes, yesterday he got us some shots that were just absolutely absurd to me.
I mean,
he never dips the ball, and he catches and keeps it there. And just now, is that something you guys work on? Is that something that, quite honestly, he came and that was part of his kind of his DNA?
Oh, he was well coached, had good form. But we always talk about, you know, a compact, you know, some guys can do it, some guys can't. But a compact, tight, repeatable stroke, obviously with balanced footwork. But, you know, guys that drop it below the belt buckle, and a lot of guys do, and we sometimes can't break those habits. But you watch the efficient, quick shooters, and it's just a quick little dip. It's very compact, and, you know, Kyle, and we work on that stuff. I mean, I talk to those guys, and we kind of have shot progression, but he came in with a lot of that. But I do think as great of a shooter as all these guys are, they have to, whatever, calm their vitamins. They have to hone their strokes. They have to work at it. They have to keep it there. And, you know, you don't always make them, but it's got to be repeatable. And then you have those nights where all of a sudden you get in the zone, and he's done that more than one night, but that's the result.
I got to ask you one question. That play that Brissett got the flagrant one, I don't know if you, I'm sure you've watched the game tape back, but, all right, Ty Jerome takes a shot right across his mug. And the only thing he does after he gets hit, he doesn't even flinch. The ball swung below the foul line. He just got back to the baseline side and continued to defend the post. I mean, have the kids even talked about that? Have you seen that play yet? Have you seen it?
I did, like we were flying back. I you know, I remember it was interesting what happened in the game. Ty kind of, I don't know if he was stunned a little bit. He kind of ate that elbow, as we said. But he I looked at him, and he looked at me, and someone on our bench said, hey, he caught one above the, you know, the shoulders. That he got an elbow to the face or whatever. And I said, Ty, I said, did you get hit? I said, did he elbow you? And he goes, yeah. And I said to the ref, I said, hey, can we check that? And the ref kind of looked at me. He goes, are you sure? And I said, Ty, and I looked at Ty again. I said, are you sure you got it? He goes, yes, I'm sure I got it. And so the ref said, okay, we'll check it. I said, no, I'll check it. Because, you know, you don't want to waste the ref's time on it. But I didn't realize until I saw the replay after that it was that way. I'm glad I don't know if it connected fully. I guess I got to ask Ty about that. We didn't talk about it, but I'm glad it didn't knock him out or connect fully.
He just kept defending. It was the greatest. It was almost like, is that the best you have? I mean, like, he just worked his way to the other side and got his hand across the Brissett and denied the pass. It was the greatest. It was unbelievable.
It moved him to the right position on the bottom side, right?
Coach, I got to ask you, man, last year the tournament, 16 seed won. You guys, you have a plan for how you're going to handle any of this? I mean, because you're going to get bombarded with it. Kids are going to get bombarded with it as you get through all this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it's what it's going to be. Is there a plan? Do you talk about it? What do you do with all that?
Well, I think we tried to, you know, do right with it when it happened, after it happened in this year, and address it and use it and take ownership and say it is part of our story. It's what happened. Can we, and most of us have grown so much from a time of adversity or two in our life where it has matured us and helped us, you know, in our basketball and beyond. And I think that's been the case. And, you know, it's been something that's always brought up a lot. We get answered or asked about, or you hear crowds chant that the UMBC chant, but, you know, we're in a race right now. This is a new year. It's a new team, and we've tried to glean from what we can from it. And I'm sure, obviously, as we get into the tournament, of course, that stuff will be brought up and asked. And you just lay it on the line. There's nothing guaranteed in one and done. You know, I'm so proud of our guys because we're in an 18-game conference, and we're one game left, and we have a chance to win, you know, an ACC championship, which is unbelievable. And then we step into the ACC tournament, and then the NCAA tournament will be there. You lay it on the line. Of course, we've been proactive about it, but you got to show up and play and play your best, and that's the reality of this.
Well, you're a fun team to watch, Coach. I just watching your kids, just Ty Jerome, the whole group, just how much they enjoy each other and trust each other on both ends, and that, you know, it's just fun to watch your team play. You know, for all the people that question your style or can your style win or all that stuff, let me tell you something. You have a fun team to coach and you have a terrific team. You know, we enjoy watching them play.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and I respect you guys both, your minds for the game. And like I said, hopefully we can just keep on, and I enjoyed being on with you guys.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thanks, much appreciated.
All right, Dan. All right, Seth.